Hello, welcome to the Americana Bistro Girl. I am your host, Roberto Alvarez Galloso, serving you the best in Americana music within the United States. And right now, we have a great artist we invited, Alicia Winters Merritt. And we're going to be talking about her album of Celtic music in America and the influence of Celtic music within the United States of America. For me, Alicia, it's a pleasure and an honor having you here.
Thank you.
We wanted to talk about your album. I hope I got it. The album, right? Was called Celtic Dreams, right?
Yes, sir.
And it was published. It was recorded almost 2 decades ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Even though
it was
recorded,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Alicia.
It was recorded in 1997, starting in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and part of it was recorded there, and the rest was recorded in Memphis, Tennessee, mm-hmm. at Rocking Chair Studios.
Great. The reason why I brought up Celtic Dreams is that even though it was recorded 2 decades ago, it still is a great reflection of not only Americana music, but also some of the origins of Americana music, which is many, and one of them is Celtic music. We know that the Celt nations were, or are, Galicia. That's where my ancestors were from. Breton, Cornwall, uh-huh. Wales, Isle of Man, Scotland, and Ireland.
Yes.
And I think all of those were once formed as a Celtic kingdom that eventually was conquered in Ireland, and all the other Ireland, Isle of Man, and Scotland, and Cornwall were eventually conquered by England, and Breton was conquered by France, and Galicia was conquered by Spain.
Mm-hmm. And they had the Celtic language in common.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and they had a Celtic nation. I say we had a Celtic nation because of my ancestry. But mm-hmm. I wanted to know, what was the inspiration behind Celtic Dreams?
Well, I originally got into singing Celtic music in sort of a weird way because I lived in Italy for a couple of years and taught English there, and one of my colleagues was Scottish, and I went back and forth with her to Scotland with her and her family, and toured around with her and stayed with various relatives of hers, and the entire time we would go to the different pubs in the different villages where we went, and I was really intrigued because I already sang. I already had been singing with a band, and I sang sort of folk country and original music. And I had a lot of influence from country music from my family. But then the Celtic music was really inspirational because these pubs were like the community centers of the communities. And not only the adults, but the children would be there. And regardless of the ages, they all knew these ancient songs. And the songs were about various things from the Jacobite Rebellion to shanty tunes to love songs, love ballads to raucous bar songs. So I just thought they were beautiful and fascinating and fun, and I started including them in my repertoire when I returned to the United States. Mm-hmm. And people loved them, and part of my ancestry is Lowland Scots. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I got a little connection there, and it just was something that was really appropriate for my voice, and I started meeting musicians and getting some genuine Celtic instruments together and put a band together and started touring and making some studio recordings, and it took off, so...
Yeah. Before I continue with the next questions concerning Celtic culture, just in case some members of our audience are not aware, the Jacobite Rebellion, and this is again my understanding,
yes.
The Jacobite Rebellion was the rebellions by the followers of King James II or in England, King James VII of Scotland, in an attempt to regain the throne from the descendants of Charles II that had occupied the throne, overthrowing James II of England, James VII of Scotland, in the Glorious Revolution of 1688. There was an attempt by the Jacobites to reoccupy the throne, but they never got around to doing it. And the other tongues, things like the shanties and everything, these are like traditional Celtic music, Celtic bars as well, that were not only seen in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Cornwall, or Isle of Man, but it was also appreciated in Brittany and France, and also Galicia and Spain.
Yes. And you know, when I was in Italy living, there were people playing the Illan pipes there, and Celtic music was something that was very popular and is still popular there. So it's really popular all over Western Europe, where I was.
Yeah, and in Italy there are some. Italy there has been some form of Celtic influence, even in the Basque country of Spain and France, where my other part of the family came from before immigrating to Cuba. There was also some Celtic influence in the Basque country, in Spain and in France, and so much that they have managed to reaffirm such influences, and they also reaffirm such influences in Galicia. And if I'm not mistaken, Catalonia has also had some Celtic influence, but it was much more stronger in Galicia than in other areas of Spain, and also in Italy.
Yes.
And there were even some Celtic culture in Russia, from what I've read. Which leads me to the next question. How much have we seen and appreciated Celtic culture within the United States?
Well, it has really caught on. I think, you know, things like the touring shows of Riverdance and Celtic Woman probably played a big influence on things. I think that Mel Gibson's Braveheart probably contributed. So Hollywood and Broadway and touring shows are all a big influence. And I think that, you know, people wanting to explore their heritage and get back to their roots and that type of thing is a big contributor to the popularity. I know in Boston and New York, St. Patrick's Day is a big deal. And now I've seen down in Florida that there is a very big Irish appreciation part of the population here, because there are quite a few genuine Irish pubs that have Celtic music. So I'm really thrilled about that. Yeah. And I've also seen some of the bands that I used to do the festivals with down here. So it's been a nice time to revisit with them.
Yeah, we do have a strong Celtic influence here in Florida, especially in Coral Gables. There's a bar called John Martin's, which only serves Irish cuisine and Irish fare. And even one of our stars here in Florida, one of our independent artists, was also, he is Americana rock and country, called, his name is Midnight Kahuna. He recorded an old Irish ballad to reflect Miami called Whiskey in the Jar.
Yes.
If you ever see his version of Whiskey in the Jar, he's a really nice guy. I have been in videos with him many times, and when he did Whiskey in the Jar, I have yet to recover from the video. I loved it. It was well made.
Song.
It was well made, and it was also, in addition to being well made, it had a sort of comedy into it. Another thing that has been happening in Florida, as well as in the South and other areas of the United States, I don't know if you're familiar with this group. They're called Wren Collective. Wren Collective is an Irish Christian Celtic group that have been that has been going around Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United States. While their purpose is to preach the gospel, most of their music, which is written by them, has that Celtic rhythm, that Celtic influence, that many people have flocked to their concerts and to their churches where they're at. They believe in open air churches. If you see,
I don't know them, but I'll definitely listen to them and to the other. What was the first man's name you mentioned?
Midnight Kahuna. Midnight Kahuna.
Okay.
Midnight Kahuna. He's rock and roll, and he's also country. But he did this version called "Whiskey in the Jar," which it's very funny. At least I will send you the video, the YouTube video of "Whiskey in the Jar." That I could send you, and I could send
right,
you the web,
I'd love
and,
it.
And I could send you the webpage of Ren Collective, because Ren Collective,
okay,
within the last 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, they have taken North America and Europe by storm.
Wow.
And at the same time,
well, I think that people are ready for that, because what I've found with Celtic music is that it's just a very, it's an appealing sound to most people, regardless of their age. There's always something for everybody, you know, because you have the ballads that are sweet and maybe mournful or lamenting, and then you've got the fun songs like Whiskey in the Jar, the drinking songs and that type of thing. There's always something for everybody. There are fun little ditties, you know, that people sing along with. It's a really interactive type of performance, and you were talking about the comedy part of it, and I think that's a big part of it, you know, because you want to always interact with your audience, and it's just a really fun time to have. When I toured, I mean, my band was called a party band. It was called a Cayley. So a Cayley is a party in Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah, but as I said, I do recommend. I'm going to send you the videos. So they're really great. And Ren Collective, I will be sending them to you.
Wonderful.
How do you see Celtic music in the future here in the United States?
Well, you know, when I'm a teacher as well, and I've taught at every level from preschool, kindergarten, up through elementary, middle school, high school, and college. And I did a lot of work with the Arts Council in Memphis, and they asked me to tour Western Tennessee and give workshops on Celtic culture to the various schools that asked us to come. So I would stay and do a 3-day workshop with the teachers and give a concert to the students that was very interactive and educational. We would teach them the dances, and we would teach them the songs and share stories with them and some of the tales from the different Celtic nations. So it was something that I think they were really interested in, and a way to work that into the curriculum. And it was something that they were very receptive to, and I thought that was a look at the future. You know, I think that we all need to explore different cultures of all over the world, and you know, this is becoming a very global place, and I think global culture is a reality, and we need to learn about each other and appreciate each other, the diversity, the heritage, and so the Celtic culture is just one part of that, but it's so rich in the arts and in language, and you know, in Ireland and Scotland, I know that they have been teaching, they started teaching the Gaelic and the Gaelic languages that I know in Scotland they had not been teaching them for many years, and
but now
they reinstated that in the schools. Pardon?
Now they're teaching that in the schools in Scotland, and in Cornwall, I think they're teaching in Cornish.
Wow. So, see, that's wonderful. But, and, you know, Gaelic is, it sounds a lot like Gaelic, but, you know, it is different. I don't speak them. I do, if I sing in them, I sing phonetically at this point. I don't know how to speak Gaelic or Gaelic. Yeah. But,
and even in France, Breton is making a comeback.
Wonderful.
And in Spain, Galicia and Spain, the Constitution of 1978, because in the same way England had suppressed most of the Celtic cultures, and France suppressed the Breton culture. Spain, uh-huh. at one time in the past, suppressed Galician culture as well as Basque and Catalan culture. And the Spanish Constitution of 1978 stipulates that in Galicia, not only should there be Spanish, but there should also be Galician taught in the schools, and also Celtic culture.
Yes, and so I think preserving that, and I think being able to teach about the culture, and I know that the kids that I taught and the teachers I taught were fascinated, and they loved it, and they wanted us to come back. It has an ethereal quality to the music, and you were talking about the Christian group, and I thought, it has that spiritual quality to it. It's just a really beautiful music. So, and the art, I'm an artist as well, and when I've been teaching art, I teach Celtic knotwork and aspects of the Celtic culture. I incorporate those into my art classes that I've taught. So the history, and so it's just a fascinating culture, and I think that it's important to preserve our cultures and our heritage and to learn about each other's and appreciate them.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Well, Alicia, for me, it was a pleasure and an honor having you in our special for the Americana Bistro Grill. I do want to wish you the best in the preservation of Celtic music within the Americana music. And just simply to remind all of our public here that not only is Americana music limited to the United States, but we have to remember that Americana music, or American music as in rock and country, it had its origins in many areas of the world in order to form a very unique American music, which is rock and country here. But it also had Celtic origins and Germanic origins, but most important, it had Celtic origins. And most of the artists who contributed to the phenomenon of rock and roll, there were some that were also Celtic. One great example of
Absolutely.
One example of Celtic origins, many people don't mention it, was Paul McCartney and John Lennon. Because Liverpool uh-huh. was also once the home of many Irish immigrants.
Uh-huh.
And many of them were the ancestors of Paul McCartney, and even I think my understanding was also Oscar Wilde had immigrated from Ireland to England and arrived in Liverpool. But that's another, I'm not sure about that, but I do know that Paul McCartney, his family either immigrated from Scotland or from Ireland. And Liverpool has uh-huh. a heavy Celtic presence because of that. So,
yes, that's interesting. I mean, it reaches all over the place. For instance, my great-grandmother is from Newfoundland, and Newfoundland is one of the most Irish places around, especially with the music. They have all kinds of festivals, and the culture itself is extremely influenced from the Irish. When I lived in North Carolina for 10 years, I toured a lot with my Celtic music there, and a lot of my musicians were bluegrass and old-time musicians because they understood the Celtic music intuitively because that is the roots of their music. Mm-hmm. The Scottish settled North Carolina in the 1700s, so... Mm-hmm. A lot of the people who settled there have Scottish ancestry.
Right. Right. So, again, Alicia, I want to thank you for coming. And I'm going to be, I'll give you the information afterwards, but I want to say to the Americana Bistro Grill, I want to wish everybody who has listened to us to the Americana Bistro Grill the best now and always. And peace in, peace out, and peace everywhere. Until the next time. God bless. And thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
Best wishes.